Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, PD, back with another Cumbrian Cult Cinema Cast. And as usual, I have with me Waffles, the Waffster, Andrew Waff.
How do you do, Lee?
And I've got Dazzle Johnston. Dazza.
Hello. Alright.
I'm alright. You don't even comment.
No, that's no point.
There's no point, is there?
No. Who's the Johnson now, Johnson?
Yes. So, yeah, this week's theme is It Takes Two, Failure to Launch, which is basically films that have got one sequel, and, yeah, that was it.
We
wanted more, yeah, so we're calling it a failure to launch a franchise properly.
Yeah.
So, bit of a difference tonight, because sadly, one of my TV heroes died. Dennis Waterman sadly passed away, as it stands, Sunday just gone.
Yeah.
I was gutted about that.
Well, we all grew up with him, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You know, he mind us, the sweetie.
Lot, yeah.
New tricks. Yeah, he's absolutely fun. I mean, he went up against Dracula in with Hammer. Scars of Dracula, he was in that, so he went up against Christopher Lee.
Oh, yeah, I think I remember that.
It's not the best Dracula film, but I still really enjoy it. And it's more of a...
it's Hammer, you know, yeah,
well,
that's it.
It's Christopher Lee.
Yeah,
And it,
you can't go far wrong with that, can you?
You know, the VHS cover, again, stuck in my head when I used to go into the VHS shop. It was there.
Yeah.
And it was a Hammer Dracula film, so I'd always pick it up. But the first thing I ever seen him in was... and I couldn't tell you the year I seen it, because I was very little. And it was... TV show called Journey to the Unknown, and he was in an episode called Evie,
right,
where he sees his shop mannequin and he falls in love with it and starts fantasizing that she's real, and you know,
right.
And it, just the imagery in it always kind of stuck with me,
right,
and because I was that young, I didn't know what it was called. I didn't even know what the TV was called, but I just knew
you remember these images,
Dennis Waterman,
yeah
falling in love with a mannequin. So when I got the internet, you know, it was one of the earliest things I kind of looked for.
Really?
It was, you know, Christmas Martian, that was another one. All these weird things that stuck in my head from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I went searching for, so, you know.
It's nice that you can get them images down to that far. I don't think I could.
No, well...
Although, you know what I mean? Glitterball was one for me.
Glitterball was excellent.
You know what I mean? That I remember.
Children's Film Foundation.
Hunted down.
You know what I mean?
Glitterball was fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Man. We'll have to do a Children's Film Foundation podcast.
I'd have to watch a lot more of them.
Oh, yeah,
I'd have to revisit them.
Yeah, there's a lot on YouTube.
But they did serials as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They were great.
Yeah.
It was a great time for British TV.
For kids' TV?
Yeah.
Proper, you know what I mean? Double deckers and all that. Remember the double deckers?
Double deckers, yeah.
And we only ever seen them on repeat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because was it Brinsley Ford? He was in the double deckers from, was it Aswad?
Was he now?
Yeah, and he does all the punk documentaries, doesn't he?
Right, nice one.
I think it's Brinsley Ford, but yeah.
Totally off subject.
Dennis Waterman sadly passed away. I think he was in his early 70s.
72 or 74.
Was it 74?
74.
It's
not a bad age, but at the same time, it's not a great age.
The last film he'd had out was in 2020, so he's worked right up.
Good on him.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
he looked all right.
I think you were talking about it. One of you was talking about him having a film out not very long ago on one of these podcasts.
We could have.
I thought it's probably Billy, but then I thought, like it was you, like throwing a curveball.
But let's be honest, he kind of went on, you know, finished on a high. He'd done 12 seasons of New Tricks for the BBC.
Yeah, I never watched that.
They're all on Amazon now.
Are they?
On BritBox.
Right.
So they were only up to season 8. So I'd already watched.
Are they not an iPlayer as well?
Oh, they probably will be.
Because that's big now.
Yeah, iPlayer's getting bigger.
Yeah,
I think it's one I always forget about.
Yeah, what iPlayer? Oh yeah, don't discount iPlayer.
Mind you,
it's BBC though. Sorry.
They were up to season 8, which I'd already watched weeks ago, and as of this week, Well, yesterday, actually. It's 9 till 12's up there. So come watch the rest. And I've only got one episode of Bergerac left. I think that's been the unofficial theme for the past month.
Yeah. Well, you've been obsessed with
it. I've been watching a lot of Bergerac. I've still got the Christmas episode. Deep in Nettles. Yes. He's such a sexy beast of a man. John Nettles, what a legend. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's still with the French lassie at the moment.
Of course he is.
And he's a private detective.
Private dick.
So there's one episode left and the Christmas special.
Right.
But I've got the Christmas specials from the other years to watch.
Was it called the Christmas special as well?
Yeah.
Bergerac Christmas
special. 1991.
So
I'll watch that. But anyways, because Dennis passed away, we're all picking our, our franchise, shall we say, that didn't launch, failure to launch. And we'd already picked them, but because I went and put in the Sweeney 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got two choices. Sorry, lads.
It's all right.
But, you know, we've been...
Special one-off, innit? It's a special one. For a good cause.
Exactly.
Is that the right way?
So I'm going to start with...
Terrible cause.
Well, yeah, terrible cause, because a great actor passed away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... So we're going to start with Sweeney from 1977. And it wasn't the Sweeney. It was just Sweeney! The TV show had been running 3 years by this point when they got the film. And it's excellent. I mean, is it as good as the TV show itself? Possibly not. But it's still a great film. But they go down...
They could get away with a bit more, though, couldn't they?
Well, yeah, and it is very violent.
Yeah.
Very, very violent.
I think that's the key thing, isn't it? They can show things on the cinema that they couldn't on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is. There's a lot more language. Yeah, well, there's a lot of language.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of violence. There's a lot of blagging and shooters.
The way it should be with the Sweeney, though.
Yeah, well, exactly. The first film, I've got to say, is a bit more political thriller than a cop
action,
film.
Yeah.
I mean, there is
than
a bit.
Expect.
Yeah, there is a bit of action in it and stuff like that, but it's not as action-packed as the series.
No.
And you don't get the interactions with Carter and Regan as much.
Plan B is pretty good, isn't it?
Joseph, I actually like that, the reboot.
Yeah, the
Ray Winston one. There's a French one as well.
The Sweeney?
Yeah.
Is it?
The Sweeney Paris.
Oh, right, okay. Who's in that?
Jean Reno.
Was that his name?
Jean Reno,
I tried to do a French accent.
Jean Reno, isn't it?
Yeah.
Reno.
Jean Renet.
Jean Renet, that's it. Aye, but no, he's playing the kind of Regan, the Regan part.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And it follows a similar plot to the reboot film as well.
Right.
But it's just in French.
Right, okay.
Je suis.
Oui.
Je suis anglais.
Do
you know something? Mr. Hatcher, who we know listens, he was a French teacher at Harrowby Sec.
Right, okay.
He'll be shouting at this podcast now, going, "You can't talk French. You could never talk French." And it's true, I couldn't.
What was his name?
Mr. Hatcher, Stephen Hatcher. He's going to come
Hatcher,
on and do...
Mr. Hatcher, I was never a pupil of yours. I was from miles away.
Yeah,
I've never used French once in my life as an adult, really. Yeah. Just saying.
Mr. Hatcher does.
I'm nearly 50.
Mr. Hatcher does because he goes across to France quite often.
Well, très bien.
That's it.
Well, I remember on the subject of that, to the lad in the Bob's Burgers hoodie that I saw at the elections the other day. That
said, let us know who it is.
Yeah, I was half asleep because it was like 2 in the morning or something like that. But you said that you listened to the podcast and you caught me by surprise.
It's a shock to us when we find out fuck listen to us.
So you sorry I didn't get your name, but cheers and keep listening.
Yeah. So I, Mr. Hatcher, anyways, he says he wants to do a sci-fi one. So
cool.
I think coming up soon, we'll get him on to do the sci-fi one with us. We'll do a part two of the sci-fi one we've already done.
Sounds Cool.
So we can choose another. Yeah, we can choose another couple of our favourite sci-fis.
I can at least find another.
That's not going to be hard.
Sci-fi film. Like.
That's it. That's it. So no, it isn't. So yeah, Mr. Hatch is going to come on to that. Thank you, sir. So basically, it starts off with them getting this lassie a bit drunk, and she makes this recording, and then they do it in, and it's Linda Bellingham.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Linda Bellingham.
The Oxo lady.
Yeah, the Oxo lady.
Yeah.
Lady,
because she is a lady.
She is a lady.
Didn't know Bitches Great and Small as well?
Yes, she was. Yeah, yeah.
She's been in loads.
Yeah, she has. And she
could be funny as well.
She's very funny. She got a kit off in...
Confessions of something. Or
Confessions of Window Cleaner, it was. Or Driving Instructor. And she was in an episode of The Sweeney as well. Where she helped out the Australian guys, Rob. I can't remember the name of the episode off the top of my head, but she helped the... There's kind of a couple of comedy episodes with these two Australian blaggers.
Right, yeah.
And it's Brit. It's Rodney from Emmerdale is one of them. But he's got an Australian accent and all that. It's quite good, and she's in that as well.
Oh, yeah, mate.
So anyways, she gets done in, and it's all about oil.
Right.
So, you know, she basically killed herself, supposedly, because she was having an affair with this guy who could influence an oil vote.
Right.
So it's that's where it's a bit different, and they're trying and stitch Regan up. They get him drunk. I mean, drunk where they've got a tube down his throat and they're pouring alcohol down his throat and put him in a car and all that, so he gets suspended, so he's off the case.
Yeah.
The usual dirty tricks that they all do.
Yeah.
And it's just excellent. You know what I mean? It really is. You've got a great cast. John Thor, obviously. Dennis Waterman, the legend.
Yeah.
Barry Foster as Elliot McQueen. Ian Bannon plays Charles Baker, the MP. Diane Keane's in there, who plays a prostitute. You remember Diane Keane from the 80s? She was in a lot of TV shows. Off the top of my head, I couldn't say what she was in. But
she was in everything.
You'd recognise her as you've seen her.
Yeah.
Brian Glover's in there.
Oh, Brian.
Linda Bellingham playing Janice. And it is just Nadeem Swala's in there as well.
Right.
That's the dad. He's in there as well. And it just excellent, really was. Well, really is, and I've watched it, you know. Usually if I'm watching The Sweeney, I'll...
stick the film on at some point.
I'll stick the films on after I've watched the series, because the films are set after the series. Even though they were filmed during the series, they were set after the series.
Right.
I think 1979 it is. I think so. I mean, there was... a pilot TV movie as well, pilot for Regan, but obviously that's not counted as the cinema releases. But that's really good, and you can find that on YouTube if you're interested in watching that. That's really good, the pilot for The Sweeney, gotta say. But came out 1977. Houston Films put it out, and they were the ones who made The Sweeney, I wonder what was tapping there. It was the first, from what I found on the internet, it was the first movie to be shown legally in communist China. British movie, that is. Garfield Morgan, who played Haskins, who was the chief, is not in the films.
Right.
Because the parts were so small, he didn't really, wasn't interested.
Yeah.
So they got in... Bernard Kay.
Oh, right.
From the Bond films.
Oh, right, yeah.
I
suppose it's like Bless This House, Brian Asquith, shouldn't he, came in? Or
According to Dennis Waterman's autobiography, him and John Thor weren't fans of the first film.
Right.
I think because it's more John Thor on his own than Dennis Waterman. You know what I mean? And the kind of what they're like together during the TV series, it kind of was a bit fragmented in the first film.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, but just thoroughly, thoroughly excellent anyways, what I mean, along with the film. So on to the second one. Second one, this time it's robberies. Yep. And it's more action-packed.
That's what you want.
Yeah. And they get to go over to Malta.
Oh, lovely.
You know, can't beat it, man.
Yeah, man.
Houston Films, again, you know, a lot, you know, loads of this cast from the TV show in it. It more feels like the TV show.
Right.
Because all the actors who play, you know, the other coppers.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all part of the squad. They're all there. Jellyneck and everyone, they're all there. The Welsh guy. I think he's Welsh. But yeah, they're all in there and it's just feels more like the Sweeney.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going after these guys who come over and they always steal the same amount of money. And any money that's extra they've got, they leave in the car. And the robberies are usually with one of the guys. They've got gold-plated Purdy shotguns.
Right.
And they've cut them down so they're sawn-offs. And he's like, you know, you've got to make yourself think, look at these beautiful shotguns or something like that. And he says, what kind of a man would cut down a gold-plated Purdy shotgun? Which the Purdies are the ones that lock stock.
Ah, right, yeah, yeah. The ones that are worth...
Yeah.
Did they fall off the bridge? Did they not fall off the bridge? Who knows?
We'll never know. Ring.
I like that.
You know, so...
if you haven't seen the film, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, and it's really... It is, again, violent as hell.
Yeah.
But it's the first one was an X. This one was a double A.
Right.
So you could go... I went to see Jaws 2 as a kid on a double A.
Yeah.
You know, in cinema, so... And when you think Jaws 2 is quite... gory in parts.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, so it shows you what they would get away with back then, compared to now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mind you, Doctor Strange gets away with a lot for a PG.
Right.
Sam Raimi's gone out, eh?
I'll take you away for it. I've seen the trailer where there's some bits that look.
I know Sam Raimi's gone gory.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean it's not blood soaked.
No, it can't be.
Your Evil Dead 2 style. But, you know, there's heads exploding, imploding. You know what I mean? Eyeballs being plucked out, Sam Raimi style.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that's not me giving any spoilers because I've said nothing. but yeah, so again, you've got John Thor's back in there with Dennis Waltman, obviously. Denholm Elliott plays ex-detective chief superinspector. Superintendent Jupp. That was a...
Jupp.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. And he has been in charge of the Sweeney for 3 years, roughly. So that's... which it would be after the TV show.
Right,
yeah.
When Haskins had it. So it's kind of set in the future.
Yeah.
Both of them. you've got Ken Hutchinson in there playing the villain. And he's excellent as Hill. And basically, are the vicious bastards. If someone gets injured, it's like, fuck you, bang. Shoot you in the face and off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and it just thoroughly enjoyed it. I would have loved to have seen more. And I think they could have made more after the TV show ended.
Yeah.
But I think Dennis Waterman and John Thor had just had enough.
Well, how many seasons were there?
Is it three seasons? Four seasons.
Series.
All right. Yeah. We've got two used to say.
I know, I say season as well.
74 to 78.
Right,
I think it's three or four. I can't... Right. Three. Three, is it? I can't remember.
Right. You sorry to put you on the spotlight.
Yeah, sorry. You know what I mean? You know what my brain's like.
I know.
You know what I mean? If I haven't got it written down in front of us, I'm goosed.
Well, not to that degree,
you know what I mean? But no, it is.
Plus loads of random shit.
Hey?
You remember more than me just off the top of your head.
Yeah, true. True. But I've got to do my research, though, you know, to really, before we... I read a lot before. Or should I say, I listen to a lot.
Yeah.
I've got this app that I can just scan over...
Really?
Yeah. I can scan over...
Words,
and it reads them to us.
Right.
So, because when I'm reading, I lose concentration because of the condition. So I've never been able to read properly, and I used to love reading. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's one of those things.
Right.
But, the character Jupp, Denholm Elliott's character, was based on disgraced Flying Squad officer Kenneth Dury.
Right.
Because there'd been a whole corruption in the Scotland Yard and the Metropolitan and all that police. The Sweeney really isn't. It's an urban western, But the team and the cameraman and the director are also almost semi-documentary style. Therefore, you get more sense of reality than you would in a studio setup. And it's right.
Yeah.
I've said that before, haven't I?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes...
A bit more action, yeah.
Yeah, you know, especially...
Like running cam and stuff like that.
Yeah, in the series and stuff like that, especially. And you could... That's why I said...
Camera work.
Yeah, that's it. And you, especially when there was any fights or stuff like that, it was always in close.
Yeah.
So it felt like you were part of the fights. And I've said before, you could see the influences from the Sweeney on the Long Good Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've said that umpteen times.
Yeah.
And so just...
That kind of era of British kind of gangster...
well, that's it. Dennis Waltman was once commented to say that the violence in the Sweeney, as in the TV show, was certainly no more violent than the real Flying Squad. You know what I mean? Because they used to sit in the Met with, you know, Flying Squad officers, and so the kind of, you know, they got a lot of access.
To make it real.
You know what I mean? And supposedly a lot of the gangsters loved it as much as the coppers loved it.
Know
what I mean? So I've always been a big fan of the Sweeney. Several scenes from the film were used in the Flying Lizards Money video.
Right.
So there we go. I'll leave it at that. Just a quick tribute to Dennis Waltman. Talk about the two Sweeney films, which are absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen them, the TV shows ran constantly on ITV4, and you can buy the films on Amazon Prime. Video of the, I think they're about £4 each,
right,
which is worth it. The Blu-rays aren't even that expensive, so buy the Blu-rays, buy the series on DVD,
because
it's on Blu-ray.
You'd probably get a one, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
it all in.
Yeah, I have. I've got a big box set somewhere of them all. Love it, absolutely adore it. So yeah, there we go. There's the Sweeney, and so we'll move on to Woff.
Cheers. Mine is two films that I love. Didn't get a lot of love when they came out, but I think people are maybe going back and revisiting them, and maybe seeing them differently due to current circumstances, and they're kind of realising that I was right all along. So my two are The Amazing Spider-Man and The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. Does he spin, swing from a web? Yes, he does. No, that's not it. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
Brilliant.
There we go.
That was very, I think, to the word.
Most of it, I got a lot wrong.
I was going to come in, but then I think the bit I know is maybe another verse.
So probably
we're going to get the story wrong if I come in. So I stayed.
I was waiting for my duet buddies to come in. Like, you know what I mean?
Plus, it's been a while. It'll be over 30 years since I last heard that. Other than like in one of these films, it's like the ringtone.
It is.
Brilliant, Mr. Garfield. It was made in 2012, the first one, The Amazing Spider-Man. It was a reboot rather than following on from the Sam Raimi ones. Obviously, they did the three with
Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, yeah, the brain fart.
Did you know, right, they cancelled Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 4 and announced The Amazing Spider-Man within, like, a few months of each other.
I think that's a bit of trivia on
that. Oh, shit, sorry, dude.
That's alright, it's not that specifically, it's just a little bit more detail about that.
Oh, well, there you go, then you can go into a bit more. So.
I'm
a cunt.
No, it's after we all do it, as we say. Stock phrase, we all do that. it's directed by Mark Webb. Who, I was looking at his guy's
pun intended.
He's, yeah. Yes, I know. That's fucking nuts, isn't it? Was that the only reason that they got him in? Or, like, have we got someone called Mark Spider?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't have a director called Mark Spider.
Mark Man?
Mark Parker.
It's a Mark Webb.
He'll do. What's he done? I don't know. Yeah, he'll do. Come on, let's get him in. And he basically, I mean, he's done a shit lot of directing, but I was looking to see what it was. And, like, at the start, he just did a load of music videos. Like, loads of great videos that you'll know by, like, loads of My Chemical Romance, loads of Snow Patrol, Incubus, lots of
So he's basically a go-to director of that generation of kind of rock bands.
Yeah, just before 2012, he was fucking doing all the music videos.
Brilliant. But when you look at it, look at all the guys who were doing music videos in the 80s who went on to become fantastic directors in the 80s.
You know what I mean? Spike Jonze did Buddy Holly Weezer.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourites.
Ah, but he'd already made...
Yeah, he'd done films.
He'd done films
right
before that. Yeah.
Oh, that's Spike Jonze, Spike Lee.
Spike Lee, sorry.
Yeah, I was getting the Spike.
But no, that's what I mean as well. Spike Lee had done a lot of films.
No, I was talking about Spike Lee.
I was talking about Spike Lee as well.
Jones, yeah. I just thought that in my head.
Yeah, you're right. But I've got a DVD, the Spike Jonze DVD.
Oh, yeah.
The two-sided one.
It's got the works of,
and there was the works of Chris Cunningham.
It was a TV show, wasn't it, off Channel 4, and they'd done...
I don't know, but there was DVDs of it.
Michael Gondry. Michel Gondry.
Yeah, that's one as well.
Mirrorball.
But that was the three main ones they had.
Yeah.
Chris Cunningham, Michel Gondry.
I remember that, actually. I've got the
Spike Jonze one, and I've got the Chris Cunningham one.
Yeah.
Chris Cunningham's all Aphex Twin and shit.
Yeah, it is. Just mental. I think it was called Mirrorball, and it was shown on Channel 4.
Right.
It was an excellent show. And each week it'd be a video director whose stuff would get, you know what I mean? So you'd sometimes get to hear, you know, a band that you hadn't heard before.
Yeah.
So that was one of the good things about it.
And see bands in different ways.
Exactly.
You know, see them in a totally different light.
Because that's how
video.
How I found out the Jamiroquai video for
Virtual Insanity.
That's it.
It was a generic JK movement. Still both got Virtual Insanity.
You both said it. So that was brilliant.
Yeah.
The floor that moves, it's the building.
Yeah.
And that's where I found that out, was from one of those.
So he's just staggering across it, but making it look effortless.
And the buildings get moving on wheels.
Yeah.
And the furniture's, you know, bolted or magnets or whatever, you know. Fantastic, but back to off. We've kind of went off.
It's relevant because it is his background is his music videos. But he's done a lot of TV as well. I think most of the TV stuff he's done is since Amazing Spider-Man. I think the two films kind of derailed his career somewhat. But he did 500 Days of Summer, which I really enjoyed.
That was all right. Good film.
A bit of Zoe Deschanel.
Yes.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I do. Yeah.
He's a good actor.
Yeah. He was actually, it's not in my trivia, but I'm sure I read that he was down to, it may have been in the Raimi ones, but he was possibly down to play, it was not Peter Parker, it was Osborn.
James Franco.
All right.
James Franco.
Well, it was either James Franco
or the
one that's in the sequel of this one, whose name I can't remember.
Dahan.
The one who was in Chronicle. Valerian.
I like Valerian.
Valerian's a cracking movie.
Yeah. Gets slated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't understand it. It brought down a studio.
I know. Luc Besson and Netflix
bought it in the catalogue, didn't they?
It's up there with... It's behind Fifth Element, but it's a very worthy...
Completely. It looks stunning. It looks beautiful. The effects and everything.
In terms of world building, it was absolutely amazing. Yeah. That could have started... I mean, I know it's based on an old French comic book that they used to really love, but like in terms of world building, you could have went everywhere with that, but for some reason just didn't click with audiences, and I've always
liked a bit of French animation and stuff like that as well.
So
there was stuff that used to be on back in the day.
Ulysses was French, was it not? Ulysses 31.
Was it French? Was it?
I think it was French.
I thought, well, maybe it was.
Or was it Greek? Or was it
Japanese?
Was it Japanese? I don't think it was Japanese.
I can't remember.
I mean, it was mental. It was mental.
Yeah, that was it. Ulysses.
That's for Steve Clarenbaugh, by the way.
Eh?
That's for Steve Clarenbaugh. All right, he mentioned
that. He did. Steve listens, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Jason
the
Wheeled Warriors, was that?
That was Jason the Wheeled Warriors. Anyways, back to you, because we keep going off.
So that's Mark Webb's background. So obviously the film is a Spider-Man. It stars the legendary, the one, the only, the big, the one that we're a big fan of here, Andrew Garfield.
Brilliant actor.
I'm going to go out there and say it. He's my favourite Peter Parker, my favourite Spider-Man. I just fucking love him. I think he's fantastic. There's just something about his style that I like. In the Peter Parker role, he's a bit more cheeky. He's a bit more confident.
He was cockier than Maguire was.
That's it.
Which in the comic books and especially the 90s cartoon of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot when he was Spider-Man. He was a bit cockier. He was a bit. You know what I mean?
More swagger.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's and he's got that, and I like that. I think he does it well. And you've got of course Emma Stone, and decided in this one not to go for the usual Mary Jane love story right from the start. They've got Gwen Stacy, who was played by Bryce Dallas Howard in the Raimi versions.
Yeah.
And you've got Reese Fahnes, one of Daz's relatives.
He's somewhere.
Uncle Reese.
All right,
Reese.
That's it.
Twin Towns, man, amazing. 25-year-old.
I liked him in Love, Honor and Obey.
Yeah, that was a shit film.
Shit film.
Love, Honor and Obey.
I love it.
Oh, I wasn't a fan of that one.
I love Love, Honor and Obey.
I think it was that one.
Love it. And the final cut.
I didn't mind Final Cut, but Love, Honor and Obey.
They all have the same names. British gangster movie.
I'm sure I've seen it.
Sean Pertwee's their opposition. I can't see why you wouldn't like it. Come back to us on that.
I hope you are
thinking of
something. Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Shite. And you've got, of course, legendary Sally Field from the Smokey and the Bandit movies and many other great things, such as The Flying Nun.
She's done it for the money.
Yeah. It's, again, one of the bits of trivia.
Oh, sorry.
She said in a chat show that she really didn't like it. She only did it because, well, she said it was because... she was good friends with one of the producers, and it was going to be their last movie, so she kind of said she'd do it for them, but she said there's nothing I could do for the character because there's just little to no characterisation there, so I just kind of winged it basically.
No, they made a better character in the latest Ant-Man.
Oh yeah, with Marissa Tomei. I'm gonna crush Marissa Tomei.
Yeah,
wow, it's hard not to, isn't it?
Yeah, she's
my cousin Vinny.
You're more Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I love them little loud Italians.
With the pen.
Yes. Oh, baby. Back to you, Wolf.
So basically the story is, unusually, that you've got Peter Parker bitten by a spider, genetically altered. So they're really, really messed about with that story there, but this one, he's got a crush on Gwen, so a bit of a love story there, but the main story is he finds his dad's briefcase. His dad worked for Oscorp and was partnered with Reese Fans, and died along with his mother in unusual circumstances, but he finds his briefcase.
You've got to say Reese Fans is Kirk Connors.
Yes, he's Kirk Connors. Yeah, I mean, don't think it's a spoiler to say he's
the lizard.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's the partner of Peter Parker's late father. So once he finds his briefcase, he goes and sees Kirk Connors, and that's kind of how he gets bitten, and that's how the whole story kind of unravels from there. And it's great. I think. there's a lot of practical effects because Mark Webb said that he wanted rigs, so that there was like huge amounts of rigs built for it, because like some of the biggest rigs built in for movies in around the time, because he said he wanted real movement. He didn't want lots of just kind of CGI.
Oh, nice.
You've got Garfield, who I said plays it in a way that I can respond to. I mean, Holland, you've got I love Holland. If I was putting them in order,
I've been a couple of times.
Yeah.
Too. Holland for me is the best.
Yeah, because most people would say that.
He looks fair. Roughly about the right age. He's cocky, but he's also, you know, he's going through stuff as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Relationships, yeah. And he's got a bit more vulnerability about him as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think he's as cocky as Andrew Garfield. I think he's kind of he's good at the one-liners, but he's vulnerable, as you said. He's like he doesn't really know where he is in the world, whereas it feels like Andrew Garfield kind of feels quite confident. Certainly once he becomes Spider-Man, you can feel that he's a bit more like kind of a Superman or something.
He's a bit more like when Maguire in the third Batman.
Oh, yeah, he didn't do any dancing.
In the third Spider-Man, sorry.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Boom. That was, you know, that was... And I love Raimi.
It's going to be one of the most cringy moments ever.
Three is awful, though. It's like
it's not awful. It's just there was
maybe awful's harsh.
Too much crammed in.
But
But that wasn't his fault. That was the studio who wanted Venom in there.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of interference. That's why he was pissed off and didn't want to come back for the fourth one because of all the interference.
But he'd done a lot of work on the fourth film.
It was in that one, like, you had the thing that annoyed me when I've rewatched them recently, because I decided just to watch them all from start to finish.
I've done that as well, ready for No Way Home.
Yeah, exactly, that's why we did it, yeah. Was in the third one, they basically had the exact same fucking plot line with
Harry.
Mary Jane, but what's the actress called? Oh,
Kirsten Dunst.
The same. She gets kidnapped, and he has to go and rescue her. It's like, and that's kind of the stop. That's the end of two, and then it happens twice in three. It's like, how many fucking times can you use that same trope? Let's go and rescue his girlfriend. It's like,
I do not blame Raimi.
I don't think it was Raimi. I think it was, as you say, studio interference. This one.
I think Marvel need to hand all of their horror projects, Blade and everything, over to Raimi and Rob Tappert.
Right.
And just keep the Marvel hand in.
Yeah.
But go dark.
Yeah.
Proper dark.
Blade and everything.
Yeah.
I just finished Moon Knight. That was dark. And excellent.
I haven't finished it yet.
Good.
Yeah. You know what? Episode 3. I didn't get any further with it because I've had a few busy couple of weeks.
Have you watched What If yet?
I watched about half of it.
You need to watch that because that ties into.
I watched the one you're referring to, Doctor Strange, the multiverse one. But
right to the end, it's multiversal.
Oh, is there more stuff? Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much multiverse.
Right.
Bit of trivia. Emma Stone, Andrew Garfield dated during the filming and afterwards. I think they kind of got together when they were making the film.
Emma Stone's hot, like.
Yeah. This is a quote from my mate Craig. Sorry for quoting you. He said, "I would eat the peanuts out of her shit."
Fair play.
Would he eat the mushrooms as well?
Probably. Ooh. I'd have to ask him. I couldn't quote him on that directly, but
Or the sweet corn.
Always the sweet corn.
Pick the carrot out of the sick.
One of my mates back in the day.
That's worse. That's just another step, innit?
One of my mates back in the day tried to see if he could have a pure sweet corn shit by just eating nothing but sweet corn for 2 days.
He'd come out like a corn on the cob.
It'd be like a machine gun.
I never saw evidence of what happened, but he said it didn't work. So.
No,
wow. Nasty. You've only got his word.
Yeah. So, Reese fans, see, I normally just say Reese iPhones, but because I've got a Welsh person in the room with me, I feel I have to say fans properly, don't do it justice. Spent months practicing using one hand, because like, in the film he has one hand at the start. So he did. He spoke to disabled people, and then he followed. We watched videos and stuff, and then just actually tried to live just using one to kind of get the hang of it, get the hand of it. And this was the bit that originally it was part four with Raimi back, and they'd done a huge amount of work on it. They actually got a full story. John Malkovich was coming in as Vulture. And basically, eventually, just the studio just pissed Raimi off. Raimi pissed the studio off. They fell out, and the whole thing was shelved. But they had, and I'm getting this from memory actually, but I'm pretty sure the problem was they had to get something out because they were about to lose the rights on Spider-Man. It was going to revert back to Marvel if they didn't make a film soon.
Right.
So they basically went, right, okay, well, we'll do a reboot then, because we can't continue with this anymore.
Madder.
It is.
I mean, you wait for years and years and years, and three Spider-Man come along all at the same time.
Mind you, it took a lot of time to get three Spider-Man as well.
Well, when was Sam Raimi's first?
2001,
2002, around
there. It came out just after.
Was it X-Men sort of time?
It was before X-Men.
Was it?
Was it?
I thought X-Men was first.
I think they came out at a similar time.
They did. Not far from each other. But anyways, you know what I mean? Yeah. Backward waff.
Sorry.
That's all right.
J. Jonah Jameson, was almost played by Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott's a favourite actor of mine.
I don't think he can't be a cunt, can he? I always look at I love his role in Big Lebowski. That's how I see Sam Elliott.
Right.
Yeah. That chilled
Roadhouse.
I was thinking Roadhouse.
That sort of like laid back, you know what I mean?
Fatal Beauty, if you've not seen that, worth seeing, with Whoopi Goldberg and him.
I do love
80s action film.
He was my dad's favourite.
I might have seen it actually.
I've seen it.
It rings a total
coke, and it's all bagged up with Fatal Beauty on it.
I might watch that actually, because he was my dad's favourite actor, because my dad was just loved westerns, and he was my dad's favourite because he did a shitload of
and
westerns.
And is it The Range on Netflix?
Oh, is that with Ashton Kutcher? Is that the one that's just come out?
No, that's Out of Range. I think it's called The Range. And it's on Netflix, and it's brilliant. It's a dramedy.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they run this ranch. No, The Ranch. That's it, The Ranch.
Oh, right.
And they run this ranch, and Ashton Kutcher is the son.
Right, yeah.
And he's been away playing football, because he was kind of semi-pro.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's come back, and he's helping on the ranch.
Right.
And here's the dad, Sam Elliott's the dad.
Right. Worth watching,
very much so, and there's about three or four seasons as well, and it ends.
Right,
there's an end to it.
Right, okay,
oh, that's good.
You know what I mean? It starts and finishes. Like, starts and it finishes, and it's superb.
Yeah,
Deborah Winger plays the mother.
Yeah. All right,
I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, and thoroughly enjoy it. Excellent show. I watched all of them. They're good. They're on Netflix. It was a Netflix show.
Yeah, and I'll check out that Fatal Beauty as well.
Mm.
Yeah, that is worth checking out if I remember rightly.
It is.
Yeah.
David Fincher almost directed it, which would have been a bit of a left field choice.
Aye, but like, you know,
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. He's good, but like, I'm not sure. He's
hit and miss.
Yeah.
David Fincher.
We'll
just say Alien 3.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You know what I mean.
He's
done a couple of others which I thought were, you know.
Yeah.
Seven was superb.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
You know what I mean? But
Fight Club.
Of course it is. Fight Club was good as well.
I love Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, you've got love Fight Club.
But he's done some.
Did he do Panic Room?
Is that with Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
I think he did.
I quite enjoyed that film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was alright, that film. Anyways, back to off.
So that's Amazing Spider-Man 1.
What, did they do another one?
Well, 2 years later, it's funny you should say that. 2 years later, just when we thought we'd seen the last of The Amazing Spider-Man, we got The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So this was starring Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker, Emma Stone as... Let's go through it all again. But this one, you had Dane DeHaan coming in as Harry Osborn, and Jamie Foxx as Electro.
Yeah. Electric heels.
Yeah.
Creating him and stuff like that. Mm. Yeah. I like Jamie Foxx as an actor, but Electro in that film was a weak entry.
Yeah, I agree.
But he was much better in No Way Home as Electro.
Yeah. I totally agree there. But yeah, he wasn't comic book Electro in the film, in that one. It makes sense to me. Electro, he was proper over the top, wasn't he?
Yeah. And the blue, that whole electric blue thing, man, it was horrible.
Blue, electric blue.
Anyway, we're not,
it's the colour of my poo. Where I would live.
Mine's
I think you need to see somebody.
Blue,
electric blue. That's the colour of my room where I will live. You dirty old man.
little fat Italian, where are my sausages?
You and Joe, are you talking about Joe Pesci again? So on this one, Parker, in the previous one I didn't mention, Dennis Leary played Gwen Stacy's dad, who was died, oh, I think it's a spoiler to say he died at the end. The film was made in 2012, it's not a fucking spoiler. Peter Parker's bound by a promise in that Dennis Leary basically said at the end, he kind of said, I'm proud of you kind of thing, but do me a favour, please keep my my daughter out of this, because, I don't want her caught up in what you're doing, even though I think you're doing a good thing. So that's something that's plaguing him at the start of Making Spider-Man 2. But kind of as it goes along, he kind of goes,
I made a promise to keep away from your daughter, but you know something?
She's kind of hot, so you know what we'll do.
Bang tidy,
that's it. Schwing.
So he'd eat the peanuts out of her shit.
Lock down this fucking hole again.
So at the same time, you've got Dane DeHaan, Harry Osborn, and he inherits Oscorp from his dad. His dad's got this disease. I don't think it specifies what the disease is, but it's some kind of terminal wasting disease that gives you kind of a nasty rash. Probably a fictional disease, but it's hereditary. So when his dad dies, he starts to get some of the things that the disease gives him, and it starts to panic him a bit. So he's kind of panicking about that, but at the same time, he's just inherited this fucking multi-billion-dollar company.
Shows off a little bit as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he's becoming a bit of a Flash Harry.
I hate you, Butler. I hate you, Butler.
Classic. But he's still good mates with Peter, but they don't really explore it as much as in the Raimi versions. There's a real like bond between even from the first one, between Harry and Peter in the Raimi versions. But you don't really get that as much in the Amazing one. They kind of drop it in a bit in the second one. It doesn't feel quite as well put together. And in the meantime, you've got what you referenced before, the electric eels happening with Jamie Foxx.
Or as I like to call him, Motherfucking Johnson.
So you get Electro, you've got obviously the Green Goblin coming in. You have I don't know who's Paul Giamatti's in it as well, and he plays
Rhino.
I was going to say Rhino, but I thought, is that too obvious? But not being a comic book reader, I wasn't sure whether that was the name. But
I like what they tried to do with Rhino with the big mech suit and all that.
Yeah.
But I would have preferred to have seen him being a big guy with the proper Rhino style suit like in the comic.
I'm thinking that the comic book Rhino is a bit like the bad guy out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
A little bit.
But only... He's got a suit and he's got a rhino horn on the suit. It's not an actual rhino. No, it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm slightly disappointed now.
Yeah, but he's just a very, very strong man.
Right.
Strength of a rhino.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know,
we've all got to have our hobbies.
That's it.
And I like it. It's the one. The first one had kind of middling to kind of slightly positive reviews. This one kind of got slated.
Yeah. I went to see it in the cinema, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was certainly. Out of all the Spider-Man films, I think it's certainly at the bottom of the list, past even Spider-Man 3.
Not for me. I prefer it to Spider-Man 3.
Right.
I like it by a lot.
I prefer Spider-Man 3 to that.
That's fair enough.
That's maybe just because of me Sam Raimi love.
Well, you've got that. Yeah.
Cheers, Sam.
Yeah.
And you've got your Mark Webb love.
That's it.
It's more of an Andrew Garfield love, I suppose. A bit of a man love for Andrew Garfield.
He's
a fantastic.
He loves a bit of the Garfield.
He's got a new series coming out.
I've heard he likes lasagna.
I like lasagna. I make a good lasagna. If you're listening, Andrew, I make a damn fine lasagna.
There you go.
Pop round him. He listens.
Yeah.
He listens.
So.
Yeah, that's it.
Talk about as it drops in, as I listen, pops in sometime when they're passing.
Obviously.
You know what I mean?
Some lasagna, a glass of wine.
That's it.
Be a good night.
I've got some Barry White on tomorrow's radio show.
Have you?
Never gonna give you up. Never give you up.
You started singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
Never Gonna Let You Down. Never Gonna Turn Around and Desert You. Never Gonna Say Goodbye.
Never Gonna Tell a Lie. Never Gonna Wave goodbye
and hurt you.
That was a question on a quiz. Can you name them all? And I only got like two, but we just reeled them all off there.
I've seen him live. Oh, Rick. At an 80s festival, was that?
He did someone at work did one, maybe the same thing like a few years ago.
But
he's still working. Working all the time. He did that tune with the New Kids.
With New Kids, which is great.
It's a great
track.
I enjoyed that song. It's good shit.
Sorry, anyways, back to you. Let you finish off.
That's what she said.
Like the actress said to the bishop.
Title of your porn movie.
That's it.
That's the three different versions of that same thing. That's the basic premise. Bit of trivia. They never cast, although he's referenced a few times, they never cast Jonah Jameson in the Mark Webb versions. And the reason that they didn't was because they just couldn't think of anyone more perfect for it than J.K. Simmons. And the fact that he was, again, Jonah Jameson even at the end of Far From Home, he was there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It just says that they thought the same as well. Of course, he's born to play him. He looks so much fucking like him.
Yeah.
He talks like him. He's just like...
And the only difference was one had the hair from the comic books.
Yeah.
And the other one was his just natural hair. He's just such a great actor.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah, he's good in that.
I love Palm Springs.
Yeah. I need to watch that again, actually. It wasn't that long ago I watched it, but
it's an easy film to watch.
It is, definitely.
I've just got a hankering to watch that again, actually.
I've watched it a couple of times.
Yeah, I have.
Sweet. I'm gonna give that a rewatch. So Shailene Woodley was cast as Mary Jane Watson, but was all the scenes were cut.
Yeah.
So she never actually got to
be. Who's she?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane Watson.
You know Mary Jane.
No, sorry. Carry on with that.
No.
I don't know what the fuck I was thinking there. I thought I'd missed something, but obviously I hadn't.
Oh, yeah.
What a fucking mong I am. Sorry.
Andrew Garfield. If you remember, there's the bit where Emma Stone's going, she's going to like university, Oxford or Cambridge or something like that, and she goes for like an interview, and Andrew Garfield rocks up with her. He's just found out that she's doing it, but as much as he doesn't want her to go, he's kind of like trying to big her up, so he's doing like an English accent and trying to say what's good about England and stuff, and does a proper piss take. Apparently, like, he improvised all that, and he just did it like two or three times, and they picked the best one. So it's quite funny, that scene. Oh, so, like,
yeah,
another nice, fucking stellar performance by the
Garfield.
Yeah. oh yeah, I've just got the lasagna joke.
Oh my god!
Oh, will you not get the lasagna joke?
Oh my god!
I thought it was a total random thing that you just brought up. He likes lasagna.
Oh my fucking!
I thought he'd got it.
My jokes are deep, man, but not that fucking deep.
Jesus!
It was obvious.
Fuck me! That,
is it funny?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Do you know something? That's the longest time I've known from a joke to be told to a penny to from a penny to drop.
The penny was dropped from the highest building. I think it was dropped from the, I don't know.
I'm sitting opposite him, and I actually seen the moment the joke hit him, and he went, "Oh!" His face changed, and he was just like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I had to see it written down. I was like, "Oh, Garfield, yeah."
I thought it was pretty obvious.
So did I. I thought he'd got it because he laughed.
I thought you were being really random. I like random jokes.
I thought it was a bit of a dab joke. But obviously, that shit is deep, yo.
Yeah, that's next level stuff. That's like kind of stuff you have to think about.
Abstract fucking comedian I am.
Yeah.
We're getting to some meta jokes now. the crossing over universes, Marvel Universe and the Jim Davis.
That's
it. Porgy's coming in.
Remember when he always used to go around saying, "Nick, Nick." Oh no, that's Jim David's son.
Oh man. Don't mention Chalky. Oh man, that was brilliant.
Right.
Anyways, Woff, come on, finish off.
Your beer.
That's what she said.
Okay, the bishop said to the actress.
Title of your porn movie. as Spidey goes through an alleyway, you guys might get this reference. I'm not being a comic book reader, I didn't get it, but I saw his trivia and thought it was interesting. As Spidey goes through an alleyway, he sees some yellow pants with a red stripe on them. This is reference to Shocker, apparently.
Yeah.
Last bit of trivia.
Shocker's Shocker character's basically in the first Holland Spider-Man movie.
All right. I'm trying to remember the first how the first one plays out, because you got Vulture. Oh yeah. The guy with the this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Cool.
There you go.
Yeah. The dog that walks past on about 22 minutes apparently walks past Andrew Garfield was adopted by Andrew and Emma Stone and became their dog.
Who's got it now then?
Well, yeah, that's it. It's 2014, so might be around. We don't want to start bringing dead dogs into the podcast. People don't like that shit. I know that.
No, it's very true.
It's the one thing I can handle. It's I can handle blood and gore and anything like that. But you fucking kill a dog, then I'm
you're weeping.
I'm struggling.
Old Yeller.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Fucking. I Am Legend. Like, oh my god.
Dog soldiers.
Yeah.
Thinking of dog soldiers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you just meant killing the werewolves. No, there's a few.
Yeah.
I didn't cry when they killed the werewolves. But
did.
Hey, it's 20-year-old.
Oh, you know, yeah, recently.
Yeah, this week. This week.
It is the second greatest werewolf movie.
Greatest British werewolf movie.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Greatest British werewolf movie, without a doubt.
I'm sorry to
Neil Marshall, I know he listens. It's only second to American Werewolf, and you know, we all love that.
Company of Wolves is my favourite.
We've done this.
We still need to do a werewolf episode.
We've got October for that. We kind of usually try and keep the horror stuff to October,
don't we? Yeah, let's do a werewolf one.
Yeah.
And a vampire one, so we can discuss how good Lost Boys is.
Yeah.
And you can go on about Near Dark, and you can go on about
Fright Night.
Fright Night, and we can all argue.
That's a good battle.
That is a good battle. Great. There's only one winner.
Oh,
Fright
yeah,
Night,
Lost Boys. Well, I suppose you're the host.
Right then, so are we over to Dazzle?
Yeah, sorry, yeah, over to Daz.
Right, okay. Right, so I'm sticking with the old comic book theme. There was only two of these movies made. There is a third. We'll discuss it in a minute.
Well, it's a reboot.
Yes,
it's not a...
Well, we'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2004. As soon as I heard about this, I was excited. I'd never read the comics, but the artwork and everything that it was coming out with, it was...
I'd read some of the comics. It wasn't the one that I'd picked up religiously.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I had read the odd bits and bobs.
You knew of him.
So I'd read bits and bobs and, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was my kind of
sense of... Definitely.
You know what I mean?
So, Guillermo del Toro picked up the mantle and made two cracking movies of Hellboy.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
starting in 2004 with Hellboy.
The third one was going to be Frankenstein's monster of the Universal Monsters, basically.
Right. It's a shame it never happened.
Yeah.
Still might.
Yeah.
I think Perlman's still up for it, but whether Del Toro will go back to it or not, I don't know.
Guillermo, we know you listen. We know you listen, Guillermo.
Yeah, he does.
Come on, man. Do it.
Ron Perlman, loved it.
Yeah, it was the best, really, to play.
I mean, I loved David Harbour in Neil Marshall's.
David Harbour's brilliant.
Cracking.
Yeah, fantastic.
If these hadn't existed, like I think we said this, haven't we? Yeah. If these films hadn't existed, that film would have been in a different level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But unfortunately... Oh, I'm digging a hole. No,
it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But anyway, it's
sometimes hard to like follow when two films have been absolutely
smashing
perfect.
It out.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a lot of, I believe there was a lot of interference, and Neil Marshall didn't get to make the film he wanted to make.
It's a shame.
You know,
I love it.
I
don't put it with these two films.
I'm
putting these two films. I think there'll be controversy. Because there is that film, and apparently it is in the timeline or whatever. But
well, it's on IMDb. It says it's the third film, but that's like putting the New Barbarians as the third Bronx Warriors films,
right.
And it isn't.
But
according to IMDb, it is.
Right. Yeah.
So don't worry about IMDb.
Yeah, I think IMDb's got that wrong.
We've got a lot of love for Neil Marshall's film.
Oh yeah,
it's
a
good reboot.
Descent is one of my favourite.
It's Dog Soldiers for me is my favourite, and I love Doomsday.
Game of Thrones.
I fucking love Game of Thrones. So
yeah,
you did bloody well in there.
Anyway, back to Hellboy by Guillermo del Toro.
That's it.
You've got Ron Perlman, the amazing Ron Perlman as Hellboy, and he's born to play it because he's such a massive bloke and massive facial features.
Well, can you remember him as
Beast.
Yeah, in the Beast.
Yeah, I remember Beast.
That was something my mother watched religiously.
I remember it. Yeah, my parents used to watch that.
You got Doug Jones as Abe Sapien in there, voiced by David Hyde Pierce, but uncredited because he said it was Doug Jones' character. And he says it's him. So I don't want credit, it's him.
Doug's voiced it in the second one, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
But he didn't have much to say in the second one, really, did he?
Well, you know.
Not as much as the first
one.
No, but yeah.
Was he the same one that was in Shape of Water?
Yes.
He's done a few of them things now.
Which is reportedly a kind of creature of the Black Lagoon.
I've seen it. It's all right. It's a love story.
Pan's Labyrinth as well.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, he played the Pan as well in Pan's Labyrinth.
He plays a lot.
He plays a few, but he's sort of known as a creature player, isn't he?
Yeah,
Star Trek,
he is.
Discovery, is it? He's one of the main characters.
Right. As a normal human?
No, he's like a weird kind of alien.
Right, there you go.
But that's his stock in trade.
That's his bag, yeah. Who's going to dress up in loads of fucking makeup
really
for hours and hours?
Doug Jones should have been the new Pinhead.
Oh, yeah.
Taking after Doug Bradley.
Well, both Dougs, but I think he'd have made a brilliant Pinhead.
It was Doug Bradley.
Yeah.
So you've got John Hurt in there as well, the amazing John Hurt. Yep, yep. I'm not an animal. Selma Blair, lovely Selma Blair, oh, yeah. Is Liz. And Callum Roden, the Russian dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who I really like. He's in Rock and Roller. And he's Born Supremacy, and he was in The Orphan as well.
Yeah.
Orphan. But I like him. He's something about him. Like
it's all Rasputin. And
yeah, well, that's his name, Grigory Rasputin. Yeah. Yeah. And I forgot to say, John Hurt plays Trevor Broom Buttonholm.
Father.
Yeah. You've got Jeffrey Tambor in there as Tom Manning.
Great actor, yeah. Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. And I like to say, David Hyde Pierce actually voiced Abe Sapien. So basically, Hellboy, bunch of Nazis tried to open a portal to hell with the help of a mental, this is what I've wrote, with the help of a mental Russian, Grigory Rasputin. The plans are thwarted by Broom and his squad, but not before Hellboy slips through the portal and goes on to help the CIA with their threats from the supernatural realm.
And he keeps getting caught on camera.
He's not very, he's quite blasé about what he does. He's just massive and great and devil-like and Hellboy.
Yeah.
The comedy is amazing, isn't it?
You know, the bits where you see him grinding the horns.
To make himself normal.
Yeah.
Because he thinks he's abnormal.
That's it.
Big swishing tail.
That's it.
The comedy is great.
It was great to see it.
Yeah.
On the big screen.
Yeah.
You know, oh, man. Yeah, just fantastic.
And I think Guillermo del Toro did it justice because he's good with creatures.
He's fantastic with creatures. You can see his thumbprint all over it.
Yeah.
You put Pan's Labyrinth next to the Hellboy 1 and 2. You can tell
it's it feels like the same universe.
Did
Pan's Labyrinth come in between the Hellboy and Hellboy 2?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it did.
Yeah.
And it shows when we talk about Hellboy 2.
Yeah, with the fairies and...
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Luke Gossett.
Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
Iron Eagle.
Yeah, Iron Eagle. Love the Iron Eagle films.
What a load of fun.
Completely.
Ron Perlman chooses scenery. He just commands... He's such a big bloke.
Yeah.
And he no one else could... Oh, sorry, David Harbour, you were very good. But you weren't Ron Perlman.
No.
I think, everything about it.
It happened, you know, a lot of people fall in love with the film. Like, look at me with Keaton's Batman.
Yeah. I love Keaton as well.
You know, you fall in love with the character.
Cemented.
Yeah. And then it's that person in that role is boom, bang, boom.
I love people with Bond. Like people a bit older than us, Connery will always be Bond because he was the first one.
Yeah, that's it.
But we had a bit of, We knew our favourite Bond is.
We voted.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
We did.
Yes.
Yeah, the joint Democracy. It was my second favourite, you two's first favourite, so Democracy won.
Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
Oh, but you were happy with that choice?
Oh, yeah. No, very happy.
Hellboy, and then you've got Hellboy 2, the Golden Army. I haven't given me any trivia on Hellboy. Should do that, really, shouldn't I? That's just bloody rude. Some really good stuff as well. Oh, man, yeah.
Does he like lasagna?
Oh, man, honest to God.
Just got a joke.
That penny dropping on your face when you... Because I was watching you and you just went... And then you came out with it. It was like the penny... You just... That moment on your face, that is just brilliant. And I've never known it take that long for a penny to drop for anyone.
Brilliant.
The thing is, I'm a massive Garfield fan as well. When I was a kid, I used to fucking love him. I had the these cuddly toys.
Did you have Odie?
I never had Odie.
Oh, I liked Odie. Yeah. Odie, not stupid Pody. Fucking dog,
yeah.
Stupid fucking dog.
I said Pody before, but it's Odie.
Odie,
close, just added a P.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, a bit of trivia. Guillermo del Toro opted to do this movie over Alien vs. Predator. Glad.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, no, because who knows what it would have been.
But I'm glad he did Hellboy.
Yeah,
that's true.
And he could have done Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Interesting. Yeah. That would have been a totally different, way of going for Harry Potter, I would have thought. I mean, I know it did go dark, but...
Well, Owen Potter did go quite dark-like.
Yeah?
It's...
Alphonse, was it Alphonse Cuarón, or is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes, I think so.
Is it City of Men? Or is it
Children of Men. Oh, Children of Men.
Yeah.
With Clive Owen.
Yeah, I think he directed that as well, and he'd done a Potter film or two.
They went through a proper journey. The first two were very...
Very light and breezy, and then as they got older, they got darker.
But I love those first two as well. Like, I love the kind of real just innocence of them. But then it was nice that you went on a journey with them as they got older.
Yeah, and the it got darker as they got older.
But the Fantastic Beasts movie, I've not.
No, I must admit, I've not bothered.
I've not watched the third one. I can't bring myself to it. I watched the first and second, and by the end of the second, I was like, do we need to watch any more? And I just haven't watched bothered one.
No, they've smashed it over the head, haven't they?
Yeah.
I did like that. Miss Peregrine's School of Extraordinary Children.
That was good.
That was
I know it's totally different.
That was filmed in Blackpool.
Was it now?
Yeah.
Tim Burton loved Blackpool.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did Sam Jackson, because Sam Jackson was in that film and he loved Blackpool as well.
Because that was Eva Green, wasn't it?
Eva Green.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. Burton had kind of gone off the boil a bit for me, and I thought that was a bit of a return to form for him.
No, I quite enjoyed that.
Because we mentioned Blackpool there. Have you ever seen the Lee Evans movie Funny Bones?
Yes. But I'm not the biggest Lee Evans fan, so I couldn't say it was really for me.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say The Martins.
No, funny, but absolutely, it's set in Blackpool.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's quirky, it's weird, it's got, what's his name? Jerry Lewis in it.
Yeah, that's right, because that's a nod to the fact that Lee Evans is often being compared to
Jerry Lewis. The Jerry Lewis in Blackpool.
Right, yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Oh.
Sounds amazing.
You know what I mean? It is. Yeah. But obviously, Woff wasn't a fan, so there we go.
Not big Lee Evans fans. I've found her a bit irritating. I didn't mind
Lee Evans. Yeah.
How dare you dislike something?
Right, sorry, go back to you.
It's all right, anyway.
I've got to Lee Evans from Hellboy, I don't know.
So, in 2012, Ron Perlman once again endured the makeup to do a Make-A-Wish for a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Genius.
And the little kid got made up as well as a little Hellboy, so they hung out as Hellboys together.
Nice.
Which I think, lovely, isn't it? You know what I mean? What a man. Yeah. What a man. Although he is a bit...
He seems nice.
He does seem quite nice.
He plays a good baddie.
He does as well. He's got a new film out, The Last Victim, I think it's called.
He was in a BBC drama I watched last year, which was all about, like, kind of changing videos, corrupting videos to kind of... there's been crimes committed. It's just a bit random, because suddenly halfway through this British drama series...
Ron Perlman
rocks up at... That's fucking Ron Perlman.
It's like Christopher Walken in that Stephen Merchant TV show, which is excellent. Yeah, Outlaws was superb.
I'll give you one more on this. Jeffrey Tambor stepped in a week before production started because someone had backed out, never turned up. Yeah. So he stepped in.
Must have been a decent actor who never turned up.
Well, doesn't mention who it was, but
Andrew Garfield probably.
Andrew Garfield, I've heard. I little dick.
Bit of prosthetics on and that. He looks old.
He went off to do...
He could do it.
Garfield.
He went off to do something else, like poignant, like one of them soppy movies he did.
Well, he watched that Never Let Me Go that I watched that was fucking dark as fuck. That was quite soppy, but it's really dark.
Dark and soppy, yeah?
Just because the ending was just one of the darkest endings to a film. Not a Sunday evening film.
Don't give it away just in case somebody hasn't seen it.
Yeah, no, we'll see what
happens. So, in Hellboy 2, you've got a few new additions. You've got John Alexander, playing Johan, voiced by Seth MacFarlane.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You can hear it. When you hear it, you can hear it.
Yeah, you can.
I need to give another. I've got them both on Blu-ray. I need to give them
a watch.
It's a long time since I watched
those. Golden Army's great. You've got Luke Goss, obviously half of Bros.
Yes.
Half of Bros Milk.
I owe you nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. Anyway, I know they listen. Both of them. You've got Adam Walton.
Don't forget about
the third.
Craig, the drummer.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Craig.
Oh, no, it wasn't the drummer. Craig. The drummer was one of the brothers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The other one, Craig.
Logan.
Logan, that's it.
Craig Logan.
Yeah.
So I watched that documentary a while ago.
So, yeah, it was good. It was really good.
It was funny, wasn't it? It was funny.
Really so funny. Funny.
Yeah. So Luke Goss was playing Prince Nuada, and then you've got Anna Walton playing Prince Nuala, and you've got Jimmy Kimmel in there as himself.
Oh,
very briefly. But I'm just for it. So anyway, basically premise of this one, Prince Nuada starts a rebellion ending the eternal truce between our world and the fairy creature world. Basically he wants to get this crown together that was split up, a bit like the rings, but they don't come together. But you know what I mean.
The Infinity Gauntlet, I suppose it's kind of it's
the Infinity Gauntlet, thing, isn't it? So to bring him up so he can.
But there's a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You need to get all these pieces to together to, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and
he'd
solve the puzzles and, you know what I mean, National Treasures.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I nearly had National Treasure 1 and 2.
Great film. They're doing a third one.
I know that. That's why I didn't have it.
Yeah. Ah, right. But you still could have.
I still could have, but there's one in the pipeline, so I thought it would be a bit cheating.
No, not really.
So, breaks the truce, and he wants to be the ruler of both kingdoms, and he's got a big old clockwork army behind him at his disposal.
The Golden Army.
The Golden Army, the clockwork army,
which
are brilliant. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've, I'm sure I've talked about it before, a film called Kashern. I think it's Kashern. It's Korean.
Oh, Kasahern.
Kashern.
I think that's how. Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird one.
Yeah. You know, I've never heard it pronounced.
But no, I haven't either.
Yeah.
Spelled Kasshern, I think
it is.
Yeah,
that's it.
And it's the only DVD I've ever bought on the day of release.
It cost me
£17 from Music Zone.
Boom.
When I was working there. It must have been a 20 quider.
It's been worth it then.
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, it's fucking wacky, mate.
Yeah, it is.
Really wacky. It's every single style of film in one.
Right.
Manga.
Right. Yeah, CGI, it feels like a live action. It's pure live action anime.
It's mental. I'll dig it out for you and let you watch it. It's fucking nuts. Story makes no sense. But there's bits of it that reminds me of that.
I thought of, like, when you're saying about a Clockwork Army. The first thing that dropped into my mind.
Wizard of Oz.
Return to Oz. It was TikTok in Return to Oz. Yeah. I just had a vision of an army of TikToks just
coming out. Here's one for you. My cousin built the inner TikTok.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Because when he worked for Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Right, that's cool. I like Return to Oz.
Yeah, Return to Oz is brilliant.
It's brilliant. I saw that cinema when I was a kid. Absolutely.
What a film. I mean, this film takes Hellboy to a more fantastical level. Even though the first one was, this one just goes batshit crazy. And that's why I reckon it was done between... that's why I reckon Pan's Labyrinth was done
I can't remember.
I think Pan's Labyrinth was about 2006. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was.
I can't remember the dates on it.
Just thinking of where I was in the world.
Yeah, when you've seen it.
It shows... Because of the creature design.
Did you ever watch Mimic?
Mimic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Del Toro as well. Yeah,
yeah. He did Kronos as well.
Kronos was fantastic. Yeah, that was the first film I saw of his.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Devil's Backbone as well.
Devil's Backbone. And The Orphanage?
Yeah. It was just produced. Yeah, but that was really good. I loved that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Pan's Labyrinth's 2006, you were right?
Yeah.
There you go. Boom, boom.
So bang in the middle. It has a massive influence on this film. Doug Jones gets to do loads, probably in this film as well. I don't know, but
I bet
he did. And it's just over the top mentalness. I mean, this is more of a spectacle than the first.
Yeah.
And I would say...
Because he was given a lot more money because the first one had made a lot more money than he was given.
This was...
It was a decent hit.
It's a shame he didn't go anywhere after it, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, Neil Marshall's done a cracking job. Doing a reboot.
He did.
And I really hope it continues. And I'd like to see another one.
I would love to see another one, but as I say, the producer, from what I've read and seen things, the producers basically
not
fucking
happy about it.
Well, they meddled with it. Told him to have this, told him to have that. You know, the trailer, he had nothing to do with the trailer, the edit.
I think the trailer's standard, because I can remember hearing this with the director, that, like, you know when fucking Terminator Genesis came out and they revealed that twist with John Connor?
Yeah.
The fucking trailer, it was like the second or third trailer. And you're like, what the fuck? That feels like that should be a big twist in the film, and it's like, and then I was reading the
yeah, they've done similar in Hellboy.
Yeah, and they're saying, well, they just, it goes out to a different people. We can't really do anything with the trailers, which is ridiculous.
It
the director
is.
Should
yeah.
have the final say on any trailer.
Yeah,
it's absolutely, just should be paramount.
Like, that's but, it. So, but yeah, that's all I know on it, anyways.
Anyway, I'll give you a few bits of trivia on this. The young Hellboy, if you remember that, when he was brought up in the camp, was played by an adult, and she was 36-year-old in 2008 when she was played.
Yeah.
And it was a woman called Monse Ribé. I don't know if that's how you say her name, but it looks it. Monse Ribé. Ribé. Doug Jones voiced Abe Sapien in this, as you said.
Yeah.
But he also voiced the Angel of Death's voice. And he was doing each line twice, once with a higher and once with a lower pitch played at the same time.
Ah, which right, gives it double tracked his vocals,
basically. Seth MacFarlane based the voice of Farlane. Based his voice of Johan Kraus on Jeremy Irons' character from Die Hard.
Yeah.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
Proper over the top.
Now we have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Brilliant.
So there you go, yeah, that's it. I mean, I love the films. I thought they were brilliant. And I watched them. I haven't actually watched these this week because I haven't had a chance.
Yeah,
I've been so busy the last couple of weeks.
But you've seen them on Teen Titans. You know what I mean? So
they're not available on any streaming platforms. Which I was surprised, because I know they were.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say, just mine. I think the first one's on Netflix, and both of them are on Prime. So
yeah.
If you want to see The Amazing Spider-Man.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll hand over to PD.
No bother. So, obviously, this is my, what would have been me first one, but because of our tribute to Dennis.
Yeah.
My second one. And it's FX, Murder by Illusion, from 1986.
Classic.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Starring Brian Brown, Brian Dennehy, Clifty Young, Angela Bassett's film debut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's all about Brian Brown's Rolly Tyler, master effects blokey.
Yeah, technical term.
Yeah, that's it. Is the top of his game. Is the Stan Winston. Is the, you know, the Rick Baker.
Yeah.
You know, the Steve Johnson.
Yep.
You know, he's up there. He's the top of his game. And absolutely, you know, blows out the park with every effects, and he's done all these films. And he gets asked to help fake an assassination on a mobster they're trying to put into the, or supposedly put into the witness
protection. Yeah.
And as it turns out, it's a massive stitch-up. They decide they're going to kill Rolly, and he goes into hiding. They kill his missus. And then his tricks start coming out as he starts to get revenge on the bad guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I watch this at least once or twice. Both of them at least once or twice a year.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen them.
And they are just fantastic. The first one's 80s action flick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything about it, and you got to see some little secrets of the effects business.
This was straight off the back of Cocktail as well, wasn't it?
Oh, right,
Cocktail was after.
Was it now?
Yeah, yeah, Cocktail was after.
Was that 87?
Cocktail. 88, I think.
Was it
now? 87, 88. I went to see it on the cinema, and I was still living in Paddy.
Top Gun came out before Cocktail, didn't it?
Yeah, oh, well,
and
before.
And that was 87.
No, that was earlier than that.
86.
Was it 86 as well?
87.
I can't remember. But yeah, Brian Brown.
I'll do some digging.
There you go. Brian Brown is absolutely excellent in the part, and Brian Dennehy's character doesn't turn up till about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Three quarters of the way through the film.
Yeah.
Or halfway through the film. It's an hour and a half filmish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he turns up then and he's you know what I mean? He's on the his name's on the title.
Yeah.
As well. So
it would have been a big name back then as well.
Oh, Brian Dennehy was. He'd played Teasel in First Blood.
Yes.
Before that. You know what I mean? He's a great actor.
Did he do Cocoon?
Cocoon,
Ella Bean.
That's as bad as me.
Was that not later 80s? That would have been later 80s because the sequel was out in the 90s, early 90s.
I think, because I wasn't a kid anymore when Cocoon came out.
Cocoon. Brilliant films.
Yeah.
Brian Dennehy. Yeah. If you haven't seen Bestseller with James Woods and Brian Dennehy, that is fantastic. Need to see Bestseller.
Yeah.
James Woods, Brian Dennehy, fantastic kind of.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Piece of candy. Yeah, it's just. James Woods is brilliant in it.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic film. Bestsellers.
You were right about Cocktail 88.
88. There we go.
Yeah.
Why, what was Cocoon? Cocoon.
I thought that was about 95.
So yeah,
1985, that's what I meant.
85, right.
And then you've got Cocoon at 2020. Spelled the same. Yeah. Cocoon and Cocoon.
Right.
No, spelled the same way, mate.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious about it. It doesn't look like a reboot, it looks more like a soft core porn film.
One of the producers on it. One of the producers on FX was Dodi Fayed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, he produced quite a few films, Dodi Fayed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the chase scenes were very similar to, they wanted them similar to The French Connection and Bullet kind of thing, because there's some good chase scenes in it as well, especially when he's throwing the fake bodies and things out the car to stop the copper and all that kind of thing. I loved all of that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that end sequence where he's in the mansion. And he's setting off all the little, the screens, and he's getting them to shoot themselves, and things like that. I mean, Death Wish 5 kind of stole some ideas from the FX movies, especially with the fucking football when he blows the guy up. You know what I mean? But we're going to do a Death Wish
novel,
one, so
you just
love
it. It's quite original.
Oh yeah, it was very original. I mean, there've been a couple of films with special effects artists.
Yeah,
one called Special Effects as well, which is quite good. But I just thoroughly enjoyed it. The Australian VHS and television versions open with a different title logo.
Right.
Instead of the domestic grey title, like what I put up on Facebook today. Yeah. The words FX are in red and on a black background.
Right.
And the letters glow bright and fade out, which would have been nice to see.
Yeah.
The version shown theatrically in Europe ended where the two drive off with the end credits against the coloured background, while most TV showings and video versions see the first part of the end credits against a series of scenes from the movie. As well as following them all the way up to the Swiss Alps, where they go and he puts on the mask and that, doesn't he? Because it's fucking 1986, so it's no spoilers.
Yeah. No, definitely not.
You know what I mean? It's just an excellent film. Special effects man John Steers claimed that he had been offered money by government agencies to simulate various things to depicted in the film.
Jesus.
I could imagine that. That would be the ideal thing to go to special effects guys to fake deaths.
Yeah.
Especially of kind of big, maybe that's why Tupac, you never know.
Well, you don't know.
Tupac
do you?
And Biggie. Mel Gibson and Harrison Ford were considered for the roles of Rolly Tyler and Leo McCarthy.
You know what? Yeah. Brian Brown did a cracking job.
Brian Brown and Brian Dennehy both did a cracking job. But, you know what I mean? I could see Australian there with old Mel, the Brian Brown thing. There's posters for a few different horror films in there. Zombie Flesh Eaters.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fade to Black. And there's the big monster and all that when he went.
in his apartment when he walked in.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Just fantastic.
That's a vivid memory, that, and it's been a long time since I've seen it.
And I remember that. Brian Brown and Brian Dennehy don't actually share a scene until near the end of the movie.
The last 10 minutes of the second one, the Carney comes, they meet up straight away in the second one.
No, they don't.
No, well, Dennehy
doesn't come in about 45 minutes again until.
But when they do meet, they're in the same scene.
Yeah, this time round. It's about 45 minutes in the second one.
Until he turns up again.
That was purposeful.
I don't know, because maybe because it was done in the first film like that, that they thought, well, let's do it in the second film. So anyways, on to the second film.
Yeah.
So, FX, The Deadly Art of Illusion, 1991. Five years later. Richard Franklin directed it, who directed Psycho 2.
Right.
And he'd done a few other films. I think this was the last film he directed in America until he went back over to Oz.
Right.
let's see. But yeah, so this time, Rolly Tyler's back again. He's not an effects guy anymore. He's creating high-end toys for people with big money.
Yeah.
He's married. No, he's going out with a woman who's got a son, and her ex is a copper. And he gets asked. Well, he asks Rolly if he can make him up because there's a fucking peeper and a rapist going about, and they think they know who it is, and they're watching him and they're kind of setting him up. And the dad is dressed up as the woman because they're doing it all filming, and messing about with the smoke machine, and he gets stabbed up, and it turns out it's something to do with an old case he's been working on.
And he gets
set up,
right?
Killed, and then obviously because Rolly knows the score, they're after Rolly next and the kid, because there's a file on one of the kid's computer games relating to his dad's old case and all the rest.
Yeah,
and it's just again just a great action film. I've got a tickly back throat. Tickly throat at the back.
Back at the throat.
Oh, that's better.
Tickly cough.
Yeah, tickly back throat cough type thing.
Yeah, I've had a bit of that today.
It's just the COVID coming back, it'd be right.
All got a touch of the COVID.
That's it. So, and it turns out that there's a bad cop, Psylocke. He is a bit of a cunt.
Listening to his name.
Psylocke. Yeah, Psylocke. I know, that's it. They don't make these people.
Sake, yeah, you should be in Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Got that.
So,
it took you quicker to get the lead in.
I'm sorry, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Lasagna.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, lasagna. Kevin J. O'Connor's in this. He was always brilliant. He was in the Mummy film, the first Mummy films, Little Weedy.
What, with Brendan Fraser?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Little Weedy guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ends up being the Mummy's kind of
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was in the first G.I. Joe movie as well.
Oh, I never watched
it. Played Dr. Mindbender.
Right, did he?
Aye, in that. I like Kevin J. O'Connor. If I see him in a film, I know I'm going to quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
And he plays a guy called Neely, who's an inmate, and the guy who pinched these kind of gold coins from the church, so to speak.
Yeah.
He is dying. And this Neely's pretending to be with God, you know, he's into God and all the rest of it, just so he can get the location of the coins.
Right.
Yeah.
So they can sell them to the mob.
Right.
For big bucks.
Yeah.
10 million.
Yeah.
And obviously, Rolly Tyler's involved in that. And it's just really good, and there's backstabbing and.
Double crossing.
And lots of his gadgets, like the clown, Bluey. He puts on the telemetry suit or whatever he calls it.
Yeah,
and he controls the clown.
Yeah, remote controlled suit, basically.
Which I absolutely loved. Yeah, I thought that was just fantastic, all of that.
I was way ahead of its time.
Exactly.
Way ahead of its time,
and I believe that a lot of special effects guys weren't too happy because they said it was revealing tricks of the trade and things like that. But just excellent. And then, big showdown in a house again.
Yeah.
Like the first one in a way, really. Yeah.
It is. I mean, it, the second one is kind of a remake of the first one, but it does it well. It's like you do, like, it's one of those things, like when you get a good sequel, sometimes you just need to do the same one again, but kind of ramp it up a bit.
That's it. I mean, it went to number one at the box office when it was released.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That wasn't.
No. Well, they're both great films.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. The second one's not as good as the first.
Well, I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying it is. It's basically the same.
Which
you get a lot of sequels.
Well, you do.
Don't break it.
You try and wrap it up on the third one. You change it on the third one, and then often the third one's where it goes wrong because you try and change the formula.
Change the formula, and folk are like, oh well, we wanted more of what we had.
Mm. It's like Airplane's the best one because Airplane 2, they call the sequel, and it's basically just the exact same thing but in space.
Yeah,
and it's like, we're just going to do the same fucking story, do the same jokes, but we're just going to do it in space and call it a sequel.
That's it.
It works.
I picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's got the first one, I think, has got an 88 on Rotten Tomatoes. Not that I give a fuck about what Rotten Tomatoes think.
Yeah,
and the sequel's got a 41.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, okay.
You know what I mean? Which is a bit, or had a 41, which is a bit of a fucking low score.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think the sequel deserves a lot better than that. Yeah. And then they had a spin-off TV show as well.
Brian Brown
wasn't in it. It was a different actor, but Carrie Anne Moss starred in that.
Yes, you told me about this.
Yeah, she was in that for most of the seasons. I think it was two seasons of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I absolutely, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed.
Right.
And I think I've got it somewhere. So I'll have to dig it out.
Yeah.
But it's well, it could even be on YouTube, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's worth checking out.
So when was that out? Like the noughties or something, I suppose it was.
No.
Late 90s.
Not long after the second film.
Oh, right. So this was before she did Matrix.
Before she did the Matrix.
Ah, right.
Yeah, so it was kind of mid to late 90s, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, because, absolutely fantastic. The scene in which Tyler converts an aerosol to a grenade was cut out by the New Zealand censors.
All right.
On the grounds that it might inspire real life incidents of copycat behaviour.
Yeah.
But we all knew to do that anyways. When Rolly calls young Chris on the phone, the movie Chris is watching a television, watching a film on television, which is the film Rolly was making in the first film.
All right.
So that's a nice little throwback.
Yeah.
And as I said before, when the film was released, it came under fire in the media from effects artists who claimed it was giving away too many of the secrets, which is a shame.
Yeah.
Brian Dennehy and Jossie de Guzman, the woman who helps Brian Dennehy out and she gets shot in the second one.
Yeah.
They're the only three who appeared in the first film.
Right.
You know what I mean? So obviously Brian Dennehy had a bit of a thing with her in the first film.
Yeah.
Flirted a lot. And same in the second film, but she gets shot, doesn't she? Mm. I think through her glasses.
I can't remember,
but she gets shot anyways.
Shot her.
Despite being co-lead, Brian Dennehy doesn't turn up until about 43 minutes in.
Jesus.
So nearly the exact time, because it was about 40 minutes. Yeah. 40, yeah. So just absolutely fine. I mean, I've got the Kino Lobra, or Lobra, or whatever how you pronounce it, Blu-rays, the American ones. I've got the 101 double disc. Kino's just releasing a double disc as well of both films. I won't get that, because I've got enough as they are. And I've got the VHS, obviously. Love the film. As I say, it's one that, you know, I can easily just stick on. And it, for the first film finishes with Just an Illusion as well.
Imagination,
just a brilliant tune. Absolutely cracking track. Illusion. Illusion. Could it be that boom? It's just an illusion. Could it be that boom? A lot of confusion. Brilliant. But yeah, always been a massive fan of both films. The TV show, it's not as good, but it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
But we're going to be doing another one of these. This is the first part.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots we could have.
Yeah, there's just so many we could have done. So we'll be doing another one of these, and they are good laugh.
Yeah.
And again, it's been a great night doing the old podcast as usual.
Yeah.
So yeah, and thank you all for listening.
Yeah. If indeed you are.
Yes, indeed. If you, well, we know we've got listeners because one what went up to Woff in a polling station. Yeah. Whoever you are, get in touch. We need to know who you are. We now mention you on the podcast, so get in touch on the Facebook group or page and let us know who you are. Cheers. But no, we've got some good listeners. Gav Miller listens constantly. Rob Fletcher does. As you said, Steve. Garen Ball does. Andrew Garfield. Yeah, you know what I mean? John Chino. Hurt. John Hurt. Well, he's dead, so he's listening from beyond the grave now.
About his physical being.
No, well, that's it. It's all about the psychological and spiritual. You know what I mean? I haven't got a fucking clue. But no, thank you all for listening.
Elvis loves us.
Oh, Elvis does, you know what I mean? Jesus loves me for a sunbeam. But no.
God's our biggest fan.
Thank you, Mr. Hatcher, for listening. But no, it's great doing this because we just have a laugh and we just take the piss. You know what I mean? And it's just good crack. But anyways, that's us done. That's the first part of our sequelising sequels. It Takes Two, Failure to Launch. And we'll be back next week.
With something else.
Don't know what yet. We're flying by the seat of our plants. We're flying without plants. But yeah, so thank you all for listening. It's been the Cumbrian Cult Cinema Cast with us three idiots. It's been a Paperfoot production for the Cumbrian Sound and Vision Network, and it's produced by Woff. He's definitely doing this one as well. Daz, myself, Nick Brownlee, thank you all for listening. It's been a pleasure as always. Tune in next time for more of us idiots. Bye for now.
Bye.